same reason. I cannot stress this enough. It's gonna get uncomfortable. It's gonna get crazy. It's gonna get weird. But you have to get used to this. We're gonna interrupt each other. You're gonna interrupt your friends. You're gonna make your friends feel weird. You're gonna make your non-friends feel weird.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
It's the Joe and Alex Show, minus the Joe and minus the pork chop, plus the Live the Web girl. I'm Alex.
Woo! Dude. It's Girls Day.
It was the craziest thing this weekend because we got a text from Joe saying that he had a, like, hardcore fever, wasn't feeling well, went to the doctor. They tell him he's got influenza type A.
Ew, gosh.
So he's, like, really freaking sick.
Super, super sick. He's been sick, like, all weekend long.
And they told him that, like, something like, what was it, Liv? Like, once you break your fever, once that goes away, which could take days, right, then you are still contagious for, like, 3 or 4 days after that or something?
Right, yes. Like, the flu is highly, highly contagious for a long amount of time.
And it wipes you out. So he is serious. He's, like, not going to be in, probably, I would say, the rest of this week.
Yeah.
The bad news is, it looks like Pork Chop now also has the flu.
Right. Pork Chop caught whatever Joe has. Pork Chop's deathly ill. I, like, just talked to him on the phone, figuring stuff out for
the
show.
What did he sound like?
He sounded so ill and so bad that even just talking to him made me feel sick.
Well, I feel bad for him because he said he's never taken a sick day since he started working when he was 18. Aww. Never taken a sick day ever.
That doesn't surprise me, honestly, but
they're hard workers.
Don't come in. Don't come in because we don't want to get sick.
Yeah, so Liv and I are now, I mean, wiping this place down like we're going to get the Black Plague.
Yes, I'm using hand sanitizer like every 10 seconds.
And so here's what we decided to do because it's like kind of complicated to do an entire show as much as a morning show talks like by ourselves.
Right, like if it was just me and Alex all morning, every single break, you would
hate
want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Like you would hate us.
So we decided to take one for the team and instead of exploit ourselves like that on you, we decided that we were going to do the garbage live, so you'll have new up and coming breaking overnight celebrity news like usual, and then we will do Murder Monday live today, a brand new one for you. Otherwise, the rest of the show today is just going to kind of, and maybe for the next couple days, we're not sure, we're going to play it by ear. Hopefully we'll get a miracle diagnosis for Pork Chop that he just has a bad cold or something,
right,
and he'll get to come in earlier this week. But if not, we're going to just kind of play some of the very best and funniest things that the Joe and Alex Show has done over the course of the last couple months.
Right.
So that's where we're at. Bear with us. There's not going to be a ton of stuff on the podcast today because a lot of it is going to be replays or best ofs, as we like to call them. So, but hopefully you'll compromise with us and be happy with the new garbage and the new Murder Monday. That's honestly the best that we could do. So let's go ahead and start the show. It's the Joe and Alex Show.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Reports say the two are having marital problems after only 5 months of marriage. The newlyweds eventually just got up and walked away together. Yikes.
Ugh.
Drummer Travis Barker says that he was never romantically involved with Kourtney Kardashian. After rumors started swirling that they were dating, he said, Kourtney's like a dear friend. That's it. I mean, I love her to death. I love her family to death. But yeah, we're just friends. He's got two children with his ex-wife, Shannon Mochler, and Kourtney has three children of her own with ex-Scott Disick. Samuel L. Jackson doesn't care if supporters of President Trump no longer see his movies. During an interview with Esquire, the veteran actor trashed the president, referring to him with some unflattering expletives. The 70-year-old actor said, "This blank is ruining the planet and all kinds of other crazy crap. And the people think that's okay. It's not blanking okay. And if you're not saying anything, then you're complicit." When asked if he was worried about antagonizing Trump voters, the Avengers star said, "I know how many of them hate me. They say I'm never going to see a Sam Jackson movie again. Blank if I care. If you never went to another movie, if you never went to another movie I did in my life, I'm not going to lose any money. I already cashed that check. F you. Burn up my videotapes. I don't give a blank." So I feel like his stance is a little unclear. No, I'm kidding.
Right.
Justin Timberlake and his band celebrated the one-year anniversary of his Man of the Woods tour with a video singing Tony Tone's anniversary.
Chicago, we debuted this great show.
Hey!
Do you know what today is?
Hey, happy anniversary. Hey!
Coming up in less than an hour, Taylor Swift still isn't done roasting Kanye West. That's the garbage.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
It looks like the feud between Taylor Swift and Kanye West isn't over. Taylor Swift recently liked an image on Instagram that bashed Kanye in his video for the song Famous, which showcased nude wax figures, if you forgot, of numerous celebrities, including Taylor. It started with a Twitter post that read, "The Famous music video is straight up revenge porn, not to mention putting abuse victims next to their abusers and celebrating sexual assaulters. It was disgusting, and he doesn't get enough crap for that." That post then got shared to Instagram with the added caption, "It's so weird to see how Kanye got away with putting realistic depictions of naked celebrities in his video. I was reading comments the other day and people said they didn't like Taylor because she, quote, uses songs to humiliate her ex-boyfriends. And we know that's not true. But isn't it strange that they don't apply that same logic to a man putting a naked woman in his music video that's been viewed millions of times because he doesn't like her?" And that is when Taylor Swift actually liked the post. Michael Jackson fans from France are suing the alleged victims in Leaving Neverland for, quote, sullying his memory after taking part in the documentary. The Michael Jackson community, the MJ Street and On the Line are groups that are accusing the alleged victims, and the case will be heard by a court in France in July. According to reports, the groups want to discredit the accusations of pedophilia that have been associated with Jackson. Also, the Children's Museum of Indianapolis, Indiana, removed Michael Jackson items from their collection. A fedora and glove that Jackson wore on stage and a Jackson poster are now no longer on display at the museum. The move comes after the Leaving Neverland documentary aired on HBO, which, of course, featured accounts from the two guys saying that Jackson groomed them for sex and molested them when they were young.
What do you think? Do you think that they're telling the truth?
Do I believe those guys? I want to say yes. There's some pretty compelling evidence against him.
Arguments.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's hard. It's very difficult. And it's also hard because, like, you know, when stories like this come out, it's about celebrities that you love. And I think one of the reasons that it's so hard for some people to believe the accusers, for like R. Kelly, for example, or Michael Jackson, or any of these other people, is that, like, they feel like they're friends. They feel like they know them because they grew
up
their music.
Close.
And yeah. And you feel like, you know them based on interviews that you've seen or movies that someone's been in or the albums that they've made. And it's just, it's very, very difficult. There are some things that I question, like the 2005 trial that those guys, the accusers from Michael Jackson had. Obviously, they said nothing ever happened. And they were adults when they did that trial.
Right.
At the same time, I also know a lot about how kids, it is very hard for them, or even as adults, if you were abused as a child, to come forward with those accusations.
Right.
And those kids, you know, what they're saying is that they were so brainwashed and groomed and terrified that even, you know, in that trial in 2005, they lied. So,
right. No, I
don't
that.
Know.
I was even listening to another like radio show and they were saying, are we still allowed to jam out to Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Like if a Michael Jackson song comes on the radio, do we turn it off? Are we allowed to sing to it? Are we going to feel guilty for singing to it? So it's all just super interesting.
Disney reinstated James Gunn as director of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. They fired him in July of 2018 after old tweets about molesting kids resurfaced online. The firing was controversial with stars of the movie like Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Bradley Cooper, and some other people signing an open letter asking for the filmmaker to be rehired because he said that they were just like dark jokes.
Right.
After the firing, Marvel Studios put the movies on hold, but now that Gunn has been reinstated, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is going forward. And Nick Jonas posted a video teasing the Jumanji sequel and says that he can't reveal any of the secrets about the film, but he is excited to film.
That's a wrap on my first day back on Jumanji. So many secrets I wish I could share with you about this movie. But I'd get in big trouble if I did. But just know it's going to be bigger and better than last time. So good to be back with this amazing cast. I miss them a lot.
That is the garbage.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
It is Murder Monday, and the reason that we do this segment, which can be sometimes a little uncomfortable, a little bit disturbing, is all because these are the things in life that people don't want to talk about. And when these things aren't talked about, they go unnoticed. Sometimes that hurts people more, is not knowing what to look for, how to survive these types of situations, the type of predators that are lurking in the shadows. And all of this is to bring attention to your National Crime Stoppers organization, which allows you to report tips anonymously on any unsolved crime in your area. Just go to crimetips.org. So today we're going to do the story of Jennifer Holliday. So you ready for the story time music, Liv?
I am ready. Here we go.
In the early morning hours of May 29th, 2005, in an East Texas town called Lufkin, a woman named Jennifer Holliday is getting ready to start her day. At that moment, Jennifer is a 27-year-old EMT and single mom of a 5-year-old son. Jennifer's 18-year-old cousin, Anna Franklin, had just moved in with her to help out with her son. The two weren't only cousins, they were also best friends and super close. Jennifer also had her aunt, Anna's mother, to help out with her son since Jennifer's work schedule as an EMT required long and really weird hours sometimes. So on this particular night, Jennifer gets home around 1 a.m. She's exhausted and drained from working a double shift. She lays down in her bed and is immediately awakened by a phone call from her cousin Anna asking if she could come and pick her up from a babysitting job. Jennifer's annoyed, but she gets up and she drives to pick up Anna. The girls stop at a gas station on the way back so Anna can grab a quick snack. Jennifer is super tired, so she just waits in her car, dreaming of being back in her bed. But even in her exhausted state, a strange man catches her eye. What she doesn't know is that it's 31-year-old Eric Parnell, and Jennifer notices him as he walks by her car and goes to his truck. The girls leave the gas station, heading towards home. But what she doesn't realize is that the man Jennifer had seen, Eric Parnell, is following them. Since it's the middle of the night, there is hardly anyone on the highway. Just Jennifer, Anna, and the stars above flickering and lighting the road as they drive. Jennifer and Anna are laughing and having a good time. Then all of a sudden, a truck pulls up and next to them on the highway, matching their speed on the driver's side. And Jennifer hears the loudest bang she's ever heard in her life while going about 70 miles per hour. Jennifer's cousin starts screaming. Jennifer's been shot in the arm, and the shot nearly takes her left arm from the elbow down completely off. She is severely injured. Every single window on the front of their vehicle is blown out by the blast. There's blood and glass everywhere, and Jennifer pulls the car over on the dark highway with Anna in hysterics. Anna is screaming, "Go, go, go!" But Jennifer couldn't go. She couldn't see. She had blood everywhere and glass. She hands Anna a cell phone and asks her to call 911. And then a mysterious man walks up to Jennifer's shattered window. He says, "Hello, girls," and reaches across Jennifer and takes the cell phone from Anna and throws it in a ditch. A fear that is so powerful comes over Anna and Jennifer as they aren't sure what's about to happen next. Eric Parnell backs up about 2 feet with his shotgun and points the barrel of his gun right at the two girls and pulls the trigger again. Jennifer watches in slow motion as the bullet flies inches in front of her face, right in front of her eyes, and hits Anna in the temple, killing her instantly. Eric then opens the door and drags Jennifer to his vehicle and puts her inside. He takes a duffel bag out of his truck and walks it towards Jennifer's car and attempts to put Anna's body in the bag to take with them. While he's trying to load Anna's body in the bag, Jennifer takes his shotgun and throws it out the car into the highway, thinking, okay, it's the only weapon he has, I'm going to get rid of it. But right after she throws it out his car, she then notices tons of guns sitting on the floor of his truck. Eric gives up trying to recover Anna's body and gets back in the truck and starts driving 90 miles per hour with Jennifer to a back road off the highway. Jennifer debates whether or not she should try to grab one of his guns and uses it. She thinks he's going to kill her for sure. She's bleeding profusely and decides not to grab the gun. As they're driving, Eric hits her multiple times and then starts hysterically laughing before punching her and hitting her again.
Oh my gosh.
Jennifer racks her brain trying to figure out if she knows this guy from somewhere or where he would have seen her before. And at this point, they're 20 miles away from the nearest town. Jennifer knows there isn't one house around or even one light. They're in the pitch black when Eric stops the truck on a back road, drags her out, and begins to sexually assault her in the woods. Then, after that, Eric starts crying.
What?
And he says, "Oh my God, what happened to your arm?" Before going back to being evil like he was at first. See, his personality keeps switching between this malicious, vile human being and murderer to a caring and concerned citizen. He's like, you know, F you, B, and then
right.
punching her and then, you know, raping her. And then he'll be like, "Oh my gosh, are you okay? How
What's
can I help
wrong?
You? Yes. So Jennifer starts asking him if he has children. She tells him she has a kid herself. And just talking to him as he's switching between these two personalities, she gets the idea to do something absolutely crazy. Will her idea work and will she make it home alive? You can see photos pertaining to this case on Instagram right now at Joan Alex Show. These are really good pictures. You want to see these. Sometimes cases, I can find some great pictures to go along with them. Sometimes there aren't. But this is one story that has some really good pictures that go along with it that I encourage you to look at Joan Alex Show on Instagram. And this is one of my favorite type of stories to do because we're talking about a survival story. It's the survivor story of Jennifer Holliday. And we left off with 27-year-old Jennifer of East Texas driving down the highway and getting shot at with her cousin Anna. Anna died, and Jennifer's arm is almost severed off by her gunshot wound. A man named Eric Parnell is the gunman, and he took Jennifer far out and sexually assaulted her. During the attack, Jennifer notices that Eric seems to have a double personality. Sometimes he's evil, but then he'll snap into someone else and be caring and worried about her injuries. So Jennifer gets a crazy idea. She starts rubbing his back and his legs, kissing him on the neck, and telling him that that was great and wonderful, and thanking him for the great time that they had just had.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine the bravery to do that. Jennifer starts pretending to have enjoyed what had happened, and it starts working. He asks her again, "What happened to your arm?" And Jennifer makes up a story, painting her cousin's murderer and her rapist as her hero. She says, "I know, isn't it terrible? I really needed help. Thank God you were there. You stopped to help me and picked me up, and you said you were going to take me to your house, remember?" He says, "Well, no, I don't remember that." She says, "Yes, some man just shot me. He was going to leave me there on the highway, and you saved me." And he starts to believe what she's saying. He keeps asking, surprised, and telling her that she's bleeding everywhere. Jennifer is naked, and her arm is barely hanging on. She takes her rapist t-shirt and uses it to slow down the bleeding. She remembers that during the attack, he had mentioned that he lives with his brother and his family, and they all lived in the same area. Jennifer knows that where they are currently, there's no one around that she's going to be able to ask for help. So she asks Eric to please take her to his house.
This is crazy.
What she doesn't know is that the gunman and murderer that she was with lives in a cemetery another 20 miles outside of town. She convinces him to take her back to his house because she rationalizes that maybe she'll be closer to other people to call for help than where she was in the middle of nowhere. He tells her that his family's out of town and that she needs to stop acting bad or else he won't be responsible to what happens to her. So now she's getting scared. Like, did I just make a mistake?
Right.
Take having this guy now move me to an even more private area. The nearest town to where this guy lives is another 20 miles away. She gets there. She gets inside. They had walked also through this graveyard all the way, like, up a hill back to this, like, trailer in the woods. And once she's inside, she is horrified and still naked. And she convinces him to let her use his phone to call 911.
911, what is your emergency? Somebody shot me. This man here, help me. On the side of the road. Someone shot you?
Uh-huh, and my arm is in half right now.
And this man right here in front of me, help me out.
Okay, where are you, ma'am?
Please hurry.
Okay, are you from this area, ma'am?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me fix that gentleman that's helping you, okay?
How do you get to...
I've got another gunshot wound.
Same one. Please hurry.
And she tells somebody in the background there's been another shooting. And I said, the same one. And that's all I said. He's sitting here looking at me. And she just got quiet.
The operator realizes, as she's like, wait a minute, there's another gunshot wound. The operator is, I don't know if you could understand that, but she's yelling at the other like operators or whatever in the room,
right.
Like, oh, there's another gunshot wound, because at this point, police had found Jennifer's cousin, Anna, on the side of the highway.
Okay.
So she's saying, wow, there's another girl with a gunshot wound. And that's when Jennifer says, same one, because she's sitting in front of her attacker.
Right.
And she can't let, she's, you know, telling him, oh, you're the guy that saved me, because she's got like a split personality or whatever.
Right.
So she's saying to the operator, like, this is all the same attack.
Right.
That's, you know, someone I know. I was in the vehicle. He abducted me. This is all the same thing.
Wow.
And so that's when it clicks for the 911 operator that the man who is with Jennifer now is the same man who murdered Jennifer's cousin, Anna. Eric tells Jennifer, by the way, as she's on the phone, like, the only person that's allowed to come is an ambulance. No police. No one else is allowed to my house. No law enforcement is allowed. And Jennifer agrees. She's like, of course. You know,
right.
Listen, everyone's going to be so happy that you saved me. You're going to be the hero. Don't you worry. And he's like, yeah, okay. He gives her one of his T-shirts and shorts to put on because she didn't have any clothes on. And she has lost so much blood at this point that she's going in and out of consciousness. It's getting really hard for her to stay on the phone with the operator. So her gunman and cousin's murderer, Eric Parnell, takes the phone at certain points and actually starts to tell the 911 operator how to find his house. He's like, sure, let me tell you how to get here.
Do you think they can find it if it's a long driveway?
You know, I don't know if they can or not. That's why I want to walk to the end of the road.
Okay.
I don't know. It's right before the cemetery.
Okay, they should be able to find it. So it's kind of a ways out there. And then it takes them a few minutes to get there at all. And how's she doing? Is she getting faint or anything? I know she said she lost a lot of blood.
She acts completely okay, but
does she?
I know she's scared out of her wits.
Yeah.
I'm the one that picked her up, and I'm scared death because I got blood from head to toe.
We are doing a great job, okay? The ambulance is not far from you.
So Jennifer manages to truly get this guy to believe that he had saved her from a mystery attacker. And at one point while they're on the phone, he even asks her, where's your friend at? And she has to come up with some story, you know, about where her cousin is that he had killed. So she tells him she didn't want to come, remember? She said she was going to stay in the car and you were just going to take me. She knows she has to stay awake for the ambulance to get there because she's so scared that if she goes to sleep, he's going to slit her throat and kill her. After 50 minutes of waiting, paramedics finally arrive. Eric Parnell walks down his driveway and tells the paramedics that they found the right house. The operator, who's on the phone with Jennifer, tells her, start walking down the hill towards the ambulance. As Jennifer is walking, with Eric walking right behind her, watching her every move, Jennifer sees the trees start to move. She wonders if she's lost so much blood that she's now seeing things. And that's when she realizes the trees are moving because it's the SWAT team hiding and getting into position to take her cousin's murderer down.
Oh my gosh.
All of a sudden, the SWAT team emerges and takes Eric down right behind her. Jennifer runs towards the paramedics and is overjoyed because she's going to survive. Eric Parnell receives 2 life sentences for capital murder, aggravated assault, and kidnapping. He had a long history of criminal violence. And after 8 surgeries, over 30 shotgun pellets remained lodged in Jennifer's arm, chest, and neck. Jennifer says that she knows God has a definite purpose for her in her life and that it's a miracle that she's still here today. And there are pictures of Jennifer right after the attack with her arm after her first surgery. Jennifer now with all of her kids that she has, and a picture of her cousin Anna who was murdered that day on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. That is the survivor story, or the survival story, of Jennifer Holliday.
Wow, that's insane.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
In an interview with Jamila Jamil, Sam Smith came out as genderqueer and non-binary. He said, "I've always been very free in terms of thinking about sexuality. I've tried to change that into my thoughts on gender because we don't identify in a gender. You are a mixture of all these different things. You are your own special creation. That is how I take it. I'm not a male or female. I think I float somewhere in between, somewhere on the spectrum." He actually ended up revealing that when he was 12, he had his breasts removed.
I had breasts.
Yeah.
I fully had breasts. And I had liposuction. I was 12 years old. Had liposuction, day operation. And that was a big thing. At the time, yeah. I think I was very happy about it. It didn't really change anything. I think I put the weight back on in like 2 weeks because I hadn't figured out my relationship with food. So it didn't really change anything. But being 12 years old and having liposuction on your chest is quite a big deal.
He also said that he feels male or female depending on the situation, and that he's questioned whether or not he'd want a sex change.
I do think like a woman sometimes in my head, and I've sometimes sat there and questioned, do I want a sex change? And it's something that I still think about, like, do I want to? But I don't think it is. When I saw the word non-binary, genderqueer, and I read into it and I heard these people speaking, I was like, that is me.
Mama June Shannon and her boyfriend were busted last week for drug possession following a domestic dispute. Shannon, the mother of Alana Honey Boo Boo Thompson, was arrested on suspicion of felony possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia at an Alabama gas station with her boyfriend, who was also charged with the same things, plus domestic violence. Details about what drew police to the gas station were not released. I don't know if this is true, but rumor is that it was crack cocaine. This guy that she's been dating has a lengthy criminal history that includes arrests for theft, burglary, and criminal damage to property. They've been dating for 3 years. Of course, she's best known for Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, the reality series. At one point, she weighed 460 pounds but lost 300 pounds and slimmed down to a size 4 after undergoing gastric sleeve surgery, but could be the crack diet now that she's been arrested for these drugs. The reality TV show was canceled after 4 seasons when it was revealed that her then boyfriend had served 10 years in prison for molesting one of her other daughters. So she clearly dates winners. Shannon and her current boyfriend appear in the spinoff series called Mama June from Hot to Not, which actually just premiered on Friday, the third season of that. Kyle Massey is being sued by a 13-year-old girl. If you don't remember who that is, he is the little brother from That's So Raven. This 13-year-old girl says that for years he's been sending her sexually explicit messages. The lawsuit claims that That's So Raven actor sent the girl texts, images, and videos that included suggestive content. The girl and her mom met Massey in 2009 when she was only 4 years old. He kind of asked her mom to let them stay in touch over all these years. They've been in contact. He claimed that he wanted to assist her with starting her career in the industry, but obviously, it's definitely weird when there's a grown man trying to, like, hang out and communicate with a small child like that. Always fishy. So we'll see what other details come out about that case. And I thought this was interesting. WhatsApp co-founder, the WhatsApp co-founder is warning people to delete Facebook now. Brian Acton spoke to an undergraduate class at his alma mater, Stanford, last week and told them to delete Facebook. He criticized Mark Zuckerberg of abusing users' privacy by allowing ads on the social media networking site. And he's actually sold WhatsApp, which I didn't know, to Facebook for $19 billion. So I don't know why, if he like technically isn't the owner anymore, why he cares. Maybe that means he's got some credibility to saying this, or maybe, Liv, you brought up that maybe he just didn't get the deal he wanted.
Yeah, maybe he's mad at Mark Zuckerberg because the deal didn't go through how he was planning on it. So now he wants to, like, get back at him.
I've always had conspiracy theories about Facebook and what it's really doing in our lives and meddling with and all that. So I tend to side with this dude, I think. That's the garbage. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. I'm Alex. Live the Web Girls with me.
Hello.
Joe and Porkchop are not, as you can tell, and that is because they are both out with the flu.
Yes, they are like deathly, deathly ill right now.
And the thing is I just saw IndyStar posted an article about the flu that's going around right now. There is, like, the flu goes around everywhere every year at this time, but there is a specific strand that is very bad that is hitting central Indiana and Indianapolis in particular, and that must be what Porkchop and Joe both got. So Liv and I are like quarantined over here, and like face masks and sanitizer, we're bathing right in it, trying to stay healthy. I get a flu shot every year, so I am praying that I'm gonna be okay.
I was gonna say, because the flu shot that they give you is for a certain strand. So the strand that they think is going to hit the area is the strand of the flu shot they give you. So it could be strand A, B, or C or whatever. But everyone could actually get the opposite of the strand of the flu shot that you got. So
I
it doesn't necessarily mean you are saved.
I'm so nervous. So yeah, just pray for us that we're going to stay healthy. We're going to try to keep things as up to date as possible while they're both out. But anyway, if you missed anything on the show, like if you're just now tuning in and you just missed Murder Monday, you can find that on the podcast. Just search for the Joe and Alex Show anywhere you get your podcast. That can be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whatever. Just give us 5 stars and hit subscribe so you'll never miss anything else. And that is it. We will see you tomorrow.
Bye. Bye.